Welcome to Wellness Rebranded, the podcast where a dietitian, a personal trainer, and a mental health therapist get together to explore health and wellness from three different healing perspectives. I'm Elizabeth, registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor.
I'm Maria, licensed mental health therapist.
And I'm Tara, personal trainer. We believe in finding ways to nourish a healthy relationship with our mind and body, eating for well-being, not weight, finding joy in moving our bodies, and embracing and understanding our emotions. We are here to help you redesign your relationship with food, fitness, and yourself.
How great would it be if you got science-based guidance from qualified professionals instead of trying out conflicting, overhyped, and unproven trends?
If that sounds as awesome to you as it does to us, join us every week as we dig into strategies to enrich and enhance our day-to-day life and health.
And let's start rebranding your wellness journey.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Wellness Rebranded. This episode is about sharing with you some big news and celebrating our awesomeness. Was that funny? It is important. Yes, it is important to celebrate our accomplishments. That's very good for your mental health. So this episode is about that. So here is the big news. Ladies and gentlemen listening, Miss Tara De Leon came up with an awesome idea / project / achievement called a book. This lady is going to tell us today her amazing journey towards writing a book together with other authors. And two of them happen to be...
Cha-cha-cha.
Miss Elizabeth Harris and Miss Maria Winters. So it's an accomplishment multiplied by three. Anyway, we want to share with you this big news because we've been working behind the scenes to write this book. And we are so proud and happy of what came out of this. And we want to share with the world this beautiful book. And hopefully you like it too. So Miss Tara, I don't think I even know how you came up with the idea of writing this book.
First, I have to say that was an intro.
Yes. That was an intro.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Our listeners cannot see the happy dance Maria is doing right now, but it's something.
It is something.
So I came up with the idea for a book because I had a baby during a pandemic.
I had three and I did not come up with an idea for a book.
Let her tell her story, okay?
It's not that exciting, but okay. So I had a baby in a pandemic, and then I realized I kind of like lost a little bit of myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like myself anymore. And of course I didn't, right? Because I just had this massive life-changing event. You know, there's like a whole new family member that is in my family. But it felt like I deserved to still feel like me a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't really sure how to go about doing that. So the idea for the book came to me in the shower on the morning of Maverick's first birthday. And it was pandemic, right? So like COVID was rampant, but we were having a party. We missed out on a lot of like cool stuff when I was pregnant because of the pandemic. Yeah. We didn't do maternity pictures. We didn't have a baby shower. We didn't do, like, Marcus couldn't come to any of the appointments for stuff. Mm-hmm. We had to be like terrified during labor, you know, like,
yes. Sad.
We like missed out on some stuff. So I was like, we are not missing out now that he's here. You know, before it was really just me missing out. Now, like, I'm not going to let this affect him. Which is stupid because he wouldn't have even known that he had a first birthday party, but we were doing it. So I was in the shower and I was just kind of like thinking like, man, I hope I can get out of the shower by the time guests get here, you know, and I can hear him like banging on the door and crying because he's not in there with me. And I looked down at my legs and realized I hadn't shaved my legs in like months. And I was like, oh my God, like my baby is a year old and I still have like postpartum shaving habits, which is totally cool, by the way. Like, I'm not judging anybody who doesn't shave their legs. Yeah. But for me, it was like, oh my God, girl, get your shit together. Like, what are you doing? And so it was at that moment that I was like, man, it would be really nice to have a checklist of like, what do I need to do to like get my my groove back, mm-hmm. you know? And I thought this would be a great book because probably if I don't have my groove back, nobody else does either, mm-hmm. or it takes time to figure it all Definitely out for yourself. So I kind of like marinated on it for a while because my son is now 3 and a half and the book is just now coming out. Mm-hmm. But I thought about bringing in other experts who could help me write chapters on this, on all the different things, because while I'm an expert in like exercise, I'm not an expert in like mental health or in dietitian-y stuff. That's the technical stuff. Term.
Yes, very technical.
Intuitive eating, nourishing my body. That's not nutrition. Like my expertise. So, you know, I figured I would bring in some of my most awesome friend experts and have them write chapters too. And now we have this book that has 18 chapters, all on different subjects that any postpartum mama, or to be honest, like any woman ever, would probably benefit from reading.
How many authors do you have? So 18 chapters and how many different experts?
17, including me.
Okay. Awesome.
I wrote 2 chapters.
Yeah. So Tara, listen to this. This is the book I wish I had when I became a mother.
Yes, same.
I really, really needed this book. And that's why I think this idea and what you're doing is great. Because you said that you lost a little bit of yourself when you became a mom. I lost all of it, girl. Like a little bit? Are you kidding me? Nobody. And again, I have friends that motherhood was life-changing in a very all positive way. And that's okay. In my case, it wasn't like that. There were many positive things, but I don't think I was prepared to the tsunami of emotions and tasks.
Yes.
And things that I was asking about myself. I mean, all the changes that came with it, good and bad. So I felt really lonely on the bad changes because I wanted to share how this was challenging and hard on me. But with society, we hear, oh, the bundle of joy, the happiness, the bond, yes. The beauty of having kids. And I'm like, where is the space about the struggle? Because it has, it's still not hard. Motherhood is not easy on me. It takes a lot of effort and you know, energy.
That brings me to the title of my chapter. Motherhood is hard. Eating doesn't have to be.
I love it. Yeah, parenting is hard. Like, in every
It doesn't get easier. Form. My kids are in college and it's still hard.
Elizabeth devastates me deeply when she reminds me that toddlerhood is like the easy part.
Yeah.
So what is the title of this amazing book?
So this book is called Hot Mess to Hot Mom, Transformational Tools for Thriving After Childbirth and Beyond. Mm-hmm. And the way that I kind of think of that is an acronym, like healthy, on it, and thriving. Because when I stood there in the shower that day, I kind of thought, what kind of mom do I want to be?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Healthy, on it, and thriving.
You should read the intro to the book.
I look forward to
Elizabeth.
But I want to be healthy, on it, and thriving. It's not like, oh, I want to look like a supermodel or something, because you know that's not our jam in here. But I wanted to just like have it all together and
be self-fulfilled. Not even all together, but some of it.
Like just feel like I'm a little bit more in control of just this like spiral of, you know, am I doing everything okay-ish, you know?
Yes.
So I just wanted to have it a little bit together and be healthy and thriving and
so this is the beauty of this book. What I see is going to be so helpful for so many women is one, to make us all feel not alone. The struggles or the stories that you're going to read in this book, some of them might relate to you and make you think, wow, I thought I was the only one having a shower and looking at my unshaved legs for many months. I mean, no, many of us have gone through that. But two, is the tools that we're sharing.
Yeah.
Each chapter is designed to talk about a story, a human personal story from each of the experts, and a tool. So think about it. You walk away with at least 17 tools that you can pick and choose to apply to your life and hope that it can bring well-being and ideas on how to get to wherever you want to get, right?
Absolutely.
So your chapter is Motherhood is Hard, but Eating Doesn't Have to Be.
Yes.
Tell me.
I love that title.
I really feel that way. Well, you guys all know it can feel hard to eat in our current culture. It's definitely hard to be a mom or a parent. And I just would hate for anyone out there to be struggling with food while also trying to navigate the journey of parenthood. I tell the story in the book, actually, of how I came to nutrition, which I don't know that I've ever talked about so much on the podcast, but mm-hmm. I tell that story. I go sort of behind the scenes why I was interested in nutrition and tell a story from my personal life. And then really, P.S., there's actually like a little side note love letter to moms everywhere in the middle of my chapter,
which I love.
Yes, thank you. And really, I just wanted to remove the stress from moms mm-hmm. about related to food and mm-hmm. share a tool to make it much simpler to feed yourself, to think about feeding yourself, how to go about it. And for me, my favorite part of getting that chapter out into the world is that one of the most favorite parts of my work for me is being able to sort of help it spreads, right? If I help somebody have a happy, healthy relationship with food or heal their relationship with food or opt out of diet culture or improve their body image, it has this beautiful ripple effect, where they call that the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
It doesn't just help the person, right? It helps everyone around them. And especially when I'm working with parents who have children, if I can help you have a happier, healthier relationship with food, that will go a long way towards helping your child have a healthier relationship with food. And I hope that is one of the benefits mm-hmm. of the book and people who read it, is just giving them a different way to think about nutrition and feeding themselves, and to make it less stressful, mm-hmm. frankly, and to emphasize it as a way of taking care of yourself, not stressing yourself out or shaming mm-hmm. yourself for any of the things.
I actually had that thought when I was writing my part of the book, was, man, if every mother read this and took these lessons to heart, like in a few generations, we won't need this book anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll just so ingrained into who we are as mothers mm-hmm. that like our kids will see that and do the same thing and their kids, and it'll just ripple out and be unnecessary, which would be amazing.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So before you guys talk about your chapters, can you give us a preview of some of the other experts in the book, or give our listeners, mm-hmm. I should say?
Yes.
Like, what can they expect? What are we going to learn about?
So some of the experts in the book are actually people that I used postpartum. Mm-hmm. Julie Blamfin, who has been here on the show with us. She actually really helped me find my like sexiness again, because I had this baby and my libido was like, I am out of here. Mm-hmm. Which of course I didn't really care about, but it made my marriage like slightly more challenging for a little while, because other people in the marriage did care more about that.
So diplomatic, Tara.
Like, sorry, babe, but you know, I've been through some things. So I went to see Julie, and it was so funny because she was kind of just like, oh, picture yourself like in the water and the water's on you and you're like sexy. And I was like, what the world? I was like, what? And she's like, dude, every time you interact with water, I want you to think about sex. And I was like, okay, like, guess let me get a sip here.
Yeah.
Ooh, this water is so sexy. Like, it was just totally weird to me, but it worked. Like, it helped me start getting back in the vibe of like, oh, maybe I do want to do that. You know,
interesting.
Like, so Julie wrote an amazing chapter about kind of like finding your sexy again,
getting your sexy back.
I had Dr. Gina Hahn write a chapter on
she's also been on the show.
Yes. About pelvic floor and kind of recovering from the trauma that is childbirth. And so for me, like, I was peeing my pants all the time after I had a baby. Like, anytime I would sneeze, I was going to pee my pants. So I did some work in pelvic floor physical therapy, and that was super helpful to me. So I had to include a chapter on that, because I asked my doctor about it and she was like, oh, you could try that, but it probably won't work. And I was like, dang, for real? So I went to try it and I was like, well, this was like way more effective than me sitting at home doing nothing,
right?
You know, and I think it's kind of like lame that our medical doctors just kind of blew it off. Like, you had a baby, you're going to pee yourself from now on. And I'm like, well, that's an unacceptable answer. Mm-hmm. So I had her come in there. I also wanted to touch on like the legal aspects of mm-hmm. having a child. Like we need like an estate plan and a mm-hmm. will and, you know, things like that. So we had Val Anias come in and she shared the kind of how to's to get your estate set up. She is an attorney here in Annapolis and is amazing. We had so many good people in there.
Yeah.
You know, just, you got to read the book, guys. There's so many amazing authors in there that share their expertise with us.
And coming from different angles, which is great because yeah. it's different perspectives to kind of the same topic, which is motherhood and how to thrive after it, but different important topics to keep, you know, in mind. But even if one of them doesn't relate to you, then you have 16 other tools to choose from.
All right, tell us about your chapter, Maria. And Maria gave a giant cliffhanger before we press record that she's going to read her favorite sentences from her chapter that made her cry. So I'm on the edge of my seat.
I can't wait to hear it.
I think I wrote this for myself. And then I'm like, if this hits my heart, maybe it does for somebody else too. I don't know. Anyway, my chapter is called The Myth of the Good Mother, How to Ask for Help. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this has happened to anybody else, but it's really, or if it happens to anybody else, but it's really hard for me to ask for help because mm-hmm. I come from this belief that I am self-sufficient and that I should do it on my own and that's going to show how independent I am and how successful I can be. And it's not true. Asking for help doesn't mean that you cannot do it. It means that you're being resourceful, right? So I just tell my story about how I had my first daughter, and then I share on the tool a little bit about the importance and how to ask for help. But here's my favorite paragraph of my chapter. So those of you who are going to go hopefully and buy this book and share all this information with us and connect with us this way, when you read it, it's going to sound familiar, but here you go. I wrote, I want to share with you, beautiful woman, that you are not a bad mother if motherhood feels hard. You're not a bad mother if you miss having your independence, if sitting on the floor playing with the kids isn't your thing, if you got dreams for when they're off to college, if alone time brings you joy, if you need those long breaks, and if you got plans that don't scream mom all the time.
Oh, I love that.
That's also love that.
I was desperate to be the perfect mom, and that was killing me softly.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, what does that even mean?
Exactly.
Right.
But it comes from a lot of pressure from society. Like you see these commercials of the mom dressed beautiful, the makeup, the hair, and then you have dinner ready. And you wouldn't.
Can you believe her?
Yeah. Like the movie, what is it? Stepwives? No.
Stepford Wives.
Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
That sounds silly, but I'm being honest. A little bit, that was the belief in me that I needed to look like that. And of course, when I had the baby, it's like, not only I don't even look like that, it's like exactly the opposite of it. And that brought me down.
Yeah.
Myself. I did it myself.
It's so interesting too, because it kind of reminds me of talking about, you know, looking at food through a different lens or looking at health through a different lens. So hearing you talk about, I wanted to be the perfect mom, I think probably conjures up a similar image for everyone. Exactly what you just mentioned, you know, looking good, getting dinner on the table, doing all the things, like having the perfectly well-behaved child and your life revolves around, like whatever you imagine for that. But an alternate way of, I always think that one of the greatest gifts my mom gave me, I'll say it this way, and my parents, is they raised me to be independent and to fly. And my mom modeled that throughout my life. Mm-hmm. She was an awesome mom, but she also had her own things. And she demonstrated that that's okay. And not only okay, but encouraged or mm-hmm. good. And that's, I think, a real gift when you can raise your kids to be independent, even though you know that you're going to miss them terribly selfishly, right? My kids are at that age where they're graduating college and very much moving into adulthood. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to raise them to be independent as well. And so when you look at it through that lens, well, that
that's like kind of the opposite mm-hmm. of looking at like that stereotypical perfect mom, right?
Yeah, I love that because of course we all want our kids to like fly and do well and, you know, be independent and amazing, right? But like, it's also so fulfilling for her as the mother yeah. to have her own things that like her whole being doesn't revolve around these other people. It's just beautiful that she modeled that for you.
Yeah. Well, but there are women that feel completely fulfilled with focusing completely on their kids, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes there's pressure that if you stay at home and just take care of your, just with the word just, right, take just. Care of your kids, then you're not independent or you're not an accomplished woman because you also don't have your a business on the side or you're
I totally agree that, with the, right? that. Mm-hmm. Yes, I absolutely agree. I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years.
Right.
For a lot
so
of
what that, I'm saying is
I found it very fulfilling.
Any is okay mm-hmm. as long as it doesn't come, at least in my case, from that belief, whatever unrealistic goal or
expectation
of the good mother, because you know,
I have so much respect for the stay-at-home moms because I did it for 9 weeks and I was like, I got to get out of here. I was like really struggling with it, right? I just think that is way harder than anything I do in my actual day-to-day life.
Or the opposite to what we're talking. Actually, those moms that do go out and work and then feel bad and don't yeah. feel like a good mother because they're not spending most of their time with their kids. Yeah. So, you know, it is
push-pull, but I think yeah, I know. The point is to remember that you are also a person, even mm-hmm. no matter yes. how you choose to approach yeah. motherhood, right?
Yep.
But Tara, tell us about your two chapters.
Okay, so my two chapters, of course, like shocker, are about exercise and body image.
No.
That's what I'm an expert in, so that's what I wrote on. My tool for my chapter is laying out like a 12-week periodized postpartum workout so that once you have your baby and you're at the point where you're ready to start working out, which if you read the chapter may or may not be at the same time as everyone else, I will give you the tools to actually do it safely and effectively so that you can kind of like start getting back into who you are in a very abbreviated amount of time.
That's great.
And then, of course, for body image, like who doesn't love talking about body image? Mm-hmm. And of course, they go hand in hand because when you lift heavy weights or when you move your body at all, like it makes you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. Beautiful is a feeling. It's not a look. So moving your body is going to help you feel beautiful, badass, and confident.
For many people. Maybe not for everyone.
Well, I am grateful that you made us part of this amazing project and accomplishment. And I encourage you all to stop this episode right now, go straight to Amazon.com and search Hot Mess to Hot Mom and buy your copy.
And please leave a review.
Yes.
It helps so much.
Yes.
To get the book into other people's hands, much like your review of the podcast helps get the podcast into other people's hands. It is such a simple, easy thing to do. And yet we realize it asks you to pause and take time out of your day to do something. But we would be so, so, so grateful if you get value out of the show, if you get value out of the book, please, we ask you to leave a review.
Yeah, so go get your copy. Congrats again, Miss Tara, and for many more projects like this and celebration. So Hot Mess to Hot Mom. And thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with me outside of this podcast, you can find me on Instagram at coaching_therapist.
I'm Elizabeth. You can find me at Elizabeth Harris Nutrition or in my Facebook group, Health and Healing with Intuitive Eating.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Tara De Leon Fitness. Guys, if you loved this episode or any of our other episodes, we would love it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us get the non-diet word out to the rest of the world. So please leave us a review.
Yes, thank you.